a small community needs to be developed, even if you're in a huge parish. You help with each other's dreams and challenges. Then in your area, even in the big cities, you have neighborhoods. You need to kind of create that atmosphere within your neighborhood. Go to these local businesses, visit with these people. Be a joyful witness to Jesus Christ and the Catholic faith wherever you go. And then that will be blessed. And I used to think, I have to go find souls. But Christ brings souls to you. He will send them to you to give Him to them.
Today we are joined by Dr. J. John Crotty, a pilgrim who found that journeying with those who share the faith is much more than just walking with them. Inspired by Servant of God Father Emil Capon, thank you for joining in another holy conversation to strengthen our faith. Welcome to the Foxhole.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I love you, O my God, and my only desire is to love you until the last breath of my life. I love you, my infinitely lovable God, and I would rather die loving you than live without loving you. I love you, Lord, and the only grace I ask is to love you eternally. My God, if my tongue cannot say in every moment that I love you, I want my heart to repeat it to you as often as I draw breath. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. That is St. John Vianney's prayer to love God, and that is a beautiful way to start off our podcast today. You are going to be challenged today through a holy conversation I had to live out joy in new ways and with more passion than ever before. Dr. J is a supreme example of a missionary of joy that we met on the Father Capon pilgrimage. His love for God and neighbor is inspiring. My name is Joe Ferris, and I want to personally welcome you to the Foxhole. Enjoy.
Dr. J, I've been a 76ers fan for many years, so I'm so excited to finally have you on the podcast. I think many folks are going to be excited to hear that we have landed a Hall of Famer from the NBA on the podcast. So welcome, Dr. J, to the Foxhole.
Thank you, Joe. I've missed seeing you. The last we talked, we were on the stone bleachers of the ball field in Peabody, Kansas. So it's good to hear your voice.
Yes, it's good to hear your voice. And I know I want to jump right in because there's so much that you have to offer all of us that listen. And for sure on that pilgrimage, I felt the same way. But I want to start with maybe walking before we run. What is it currently that you'd say, hey, here's a saint story, Joe, that I'm praying over that's really providing me some information, some inspiration, especially in this rough time?
Well, our Holy Father Francis has given us a saint to focus on this year, and this is our local parish of St. Joseph. So we just have to look to that father of the faith for us. You know, Jesus' foster father, if he could bring Jesus up and lead him, then he needs to be here for us. We're getting ready to do a consecration to him, and looking forward to that, diving deeper into the life of Joseph. He was my confirmation saint as well.
Well, I mean, they call him the terror of demons in the early church. So he's a pretty good one to walk along with, and certainly someone to ask for the intercession of. I want to have you share a little bit, Dr. J, of your faith life with our audience. I know there's a beautiful story, and I just want to kind of unleash you on them and let you talk a little bit about how the Lord has worked in your life up until now.
It's been a constant support from him. So many blessings throughout my life, to grow up in a small town in Nebraska, to meet the love of my life at the university, to have been blessed with children, grandchildren, to just be filled with a desire to share what he has given me with everyone I come into contact with. That's just where the joy comes from. It's this beautiful, blessed life that I've been given. Not that there have been challenges, of course there have, but, you know, I see myself as a child of God, and some might think me childish or silly, but it's where I find joy, just being in his presence. I feed off a daily mass, each morning receiving Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, And it's just given me this life of comfort in him, peace. And it's just, it creates joy in my heart.
Now, to even to hear you speak of the Lord, you're clearly, this is not some book you've read. This is a real relationship. And that's really what I talked about with John Vianney a few minutes ago. Dr. J, I probably should ask this early on. I probably should ask this when we were walking together on that pilgrimage, but I'm not totally sure what sort of doctor you are.
I'm a retired now optometrist. I'm an eye doctor. So I've been helping people to see in so many ways throughout my life.
That's actually pretty good, because there's Bartimaeus, and we've all who read the scriptures are pretty well aware. That's pretty strong, that prayer of Bartimaeus, Lord, I want to see. So let's move into the pilgrimage a little bit. And your role, I think, has changed a little bit through the years in the pilgrimage. So just talk to us a little bit about how you got there and what you see yourself doing in the pilgrimage these days.
I was led there by Father Capon himself. I was planning a pilgrimage. My wife and I, Debbie, my beautiful wife, we were planning to go to Lourdes and Fatima in 2013. And one of the gentlemen that was planning to make that trip was diagnosed with stage 4 abdominal cancer. We started praying for him in March for our September trip. And through the miracle intercession of Father Capon, this good man's daughter found Father Capon as his source of strength, and he was able to make the pilgrimage and lived for another 4 years after that. His name was Bruce Gefeller, great guy, and his daughter lives down there near Wichita, the Urox, and just incredible. So after he came back from this pilgrimage, he said, we're going to go honor Father Capon. We're going to do his walk. Anybody want to go? There was a half a dozen of us that said, you bet. And then he said, it's 60 miles in 3 days. Anybody still want to go? There were two of us that made the trek with him. So we also brought a young guy from Auburn here in Nebraska, and we made our way, the four of us, down there. And it was Bishop Kemmy's first mass there at Pilsen, and it was an absolutely beautiful pilgrimage for all of us. It was powerful.
So real quick, Dr. J, your role is different than then. I mean, I personally love Kansas, and I love Wichita, so it's no stretch for me to say I'll go to Wichita instead of Lourdes or Fatima. But your role, I know this year, not this past year, because they didn't have the pilgrimage because of the pandemic, but in the year that we filmed, you were much more than a participant. Like, what is it that you do exactly on the pilgrimage, and then what inspired you to do it? Because I don't think it's a formal role. I think it's just a role you took on.
Yeah, I created a job for myself. No, there's an incredible group of support staff that make that pilgrimage happen. And they give of themselves the whole trip. They're just constantly doing things for the pilgrims to make it easier for them to connect with Christ on this walk. And it was one of those things where I saw their outreach to me when I was walking and hurting. And I wanted to be part of that and help those. It gives me an excuse to be around these people. You know, it's just phenomenal people that choose to come on this walk. And that's one of the things that I love about pilgrimage is the people you meet. But Chuck and Ellie are good friends down there, Kisslings, and they were in charge of food. And so I got to know Chuck. He's actually an optometrist as well. He's retired now. But just got to hang out with those folks and the good people that were helping load up people's packs and tents and that sort of thing. So I just jumped in there. But one of the things that I've always known is that if people are on a walk or a run, the sound of encouragement in your ears brings you strength. So I just kind of decided I want to let them know I'm really proud of them. They're doing awesome stuff and that they're following God's will by being out here making these sacrifices. So I just became kind of a cheerleader for the group. And that's a role I enjoy.
I would tell you one of the most enduring images that I have from the pilgrimage is those last few 100 yards, half mile, where folks were crossing and you're just giving high fives and handing out water and screaming people's names. It's really overwhelming, especially when you're that tired. So That joy, though, that you bring to that, you don't fake that. And clearly it's not something you just wait once a year to do. I would argue it's probably one of the secrets of your marriage, and probably something that you've used a lot through your business life. But Dr. J, we're in a tough time. And people in the world today are frightened. They're uncomfortable. They're insecure. They're lonely. Speak to us a little bit about how your mission of joy, I would say you even as a missionary of joy, how you've maybe picked up the pace on that through this time period, and how you might encourage other people to do the same in their neighborhoods and their homes and their businesses in a time where despair seems to be trying to take over the joy.
That's really good, because this morning I got a haircut before this call, and I was talking with the lady that cut my hair, and she was having all these concerns about Washington, D.C., et cetera. And I just explained to her, we know who wins. You know, there's all this stuff going on there, but Jesus Christ is the one who wins. We know that. So let's be calm. Let's be at peace. Let's just bring joy to one another and enjoy the things that we have in our lives. And I think it goes back to that, the foundational things, beauty, truth, and goodness. And if you focus on those things in your life, they're still here. All of that peripheral stuff's going on, but in your life, you have beauty, truth, and goodness. Seek it. Enjoy it. And then that brings me to my Bible verses. You know, I was asked, what Bible verses you like? Well, Philippians 4, you take from 4 to 13 and you get, rejoice in the Lord always. And then it ends with, I can do all things in him who strengthens me. And between there is a lot more. But that's the joy is found in Christ. And once you have him living in you and you're seeking him daily, he will bring joy to you.
Now, that's a blessing. And thank goodness you got a haircut, because we would not have wanted you on this podcast without a good haircut, Dr. J. So I'm really appreciative, because, you know, I keep my hair perfect for these things. I kind of want to travel into that a little further with you, with your marriage, because I know that you've mentioned your bride several times. You've got, four children and maybe 9 or 10 grandchildren. And mm-hmm. there are a lot of folks that tune into this, Dr. J, that, I mean, to be honest with you, life just wears you out. And maybe the joy is not there in the marriage anymore, or the joy is not there with the kids or the grandkids. What kind of advice maybe have you shared with your children? And what sort of advice would you give to those listening on ways that we can stay joyful in marriage and with our children and grandchildren?
That's great, Joe. When you talk about in your marriage, joy being a key part of it. My bride of 46 and a half years now, Debbie, went through a period of years after her dad died that she suffered a pretty significant depression. And one of the great joys of my life is seeing her joy. And to not be able to see her have joy, that was a very difficult time for me. And I spent a lot of time in prayer at that time, and just did what I could to help her get through it. And the Lord brought her out of it. It was all him. But it really what it boiled down to that I feel like I've kind of gleaned out of life is that you need to communicate very plainly and clearly and frequently with people. I tell Debbie every day that she's wonderful in my eyes. And it has to be from the heart. You can't just make something up and say it. It has to be what you believe. And I do believe that. And then you have to love truly and consistently. And sometimes that requires tough love. You know, you can't always just give everybody what they want, but you continually bring the truth to them. And then you have to trust God with the results. You know, your children don't always grow up the way you would have them be. They have their own unique ways of seeing things and being. And just love and appreciate what they have and accept those results from God.
So taking that, Father, Dr. J, I keep wanting to call you Father J. I'm ordaining you a priest for some reason. I'm sorry about that, Dr. J. Maybe it's because you're
prayed
so calm
about
and
that.
Smooth.
I prayed about that vocation. I did. But,
oh, well, praise
that's
the well.
Whole story.
Yeah, well, I think you definitely seem to be in your lane here in the way you talk and having met you and spent time with you. But you not only have done things for your children and grandchildren, I know that you started a junior high summer camp called Sky which I think is kind of cool because I also taught school. I taught junior high for 10 years. So tell me a little bit about what motivated you maybe to jump into that and some of the impact that you felt as a result of it.
Oh, my. That's been a powerful thing. Our own children motivated me, I would say. You know, there were kids going to church camp. We didn't have any Catholic church camp. One of our friends' daughters went, and they were wanting her to be baptized in the river and accept Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior and be saved. And she came home crying. She says, "Am I not saved, Mom?" So it was actually that couple that got a hold of us. There were four of us couples from college days that brought all of our kids together, and that was the first Sky Camp. Didn't have a name at the time, but we got together and kind of made it a little more formal. So it was summer camp for youth, and we wrote a theme song for it. And it, one of the verses was, "We know we didn't spell it right, but we used K for camp." So it was a phenomenal success just because the Holy Spirit was in charge of bringing more and more kids. And the diocese got behind us and bought a property, and it's now developing into this beautiful site out in the country where they have techs and marriage encounters, and multiple organizations have now started camps that they hold at this Camp Kateri that we have here in Nebraska.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I've spent a lot of summers at summer camp as well. The beauty of 4 or 5 days just out in nature and leaving cell phones and the craziness of life behind you is not a bad thing. And I think it definitely gives people an opportunity to encounter the Lord in a different place. I know you've also done quite a bit of work with a rural Catholicism to some extent. And I think for a lot of folks, I grew up in it. I grew up in Eastern North Carolina, Dr. J. So it was one Catholic church, very tiny in rural North Carolina. So I have great love for rural America in that matter. So what would you say that folks can learn from that contribution? Because I think a lot of times in our church, we miss that. So what's something you would say we as a church kind of miss, and what is rural America bring to our Catholic Church in the United States?
You hit the nail on the head, Joe, when you talked about this tiny church. You have to have a community within your parish. We started with, it was called CNA back in 1997. It's now called Light of the World, and we formed small communities even within our small parish here. We have a group that meets in our home every week, has been since 1997, and we pray, and we live our lives together so that we become this small group of families who share our love of Christ and our love of life. And we're there to support each other through all of that. So a small community needs to be developed, even if you're in a huge parish. You help with each other's dreams and challenges. And then in your area, even in the big cities, you have neighborhoods. You need to kind of create that atmosphere within your neighborhood. Go to these local businesses, visit with these people, be a joyful witness to Jesus Christ and the Catholic faith wherever you go. And then that will be blessed. And I used to think, I have to go find souls, but Christ brings souls to you. He will send them to you to give Him to them. And then the other thing that we have, and you need to do it even in the city, is get outside, get away from the screens. Go for a walk, go for a bike ride, just get outside. That's what we have here in these rural places where you can see Christ in the creation that He made and the beauty of the hills and the sky and the trees.
Tell me, Dr. J, now, I've not been to the part of Nebraska that you're in, but I can envision how calm and beautiful it must be. So tell me, as we're finishing, we're kind of getting to the finish line of this podcast. And I can almost see you, if I close my eyes, slapping hands as folks cross the finish line. So give us 3 pieces of advice, maybe that you'd say, "Hey, Joe, here's some things that folks can take into the rest of their day, the rest of their week, the rest of their month, straight from the mouth of Dr. J, kind of a hero for folks on the pilgrimage." So give us a little encouragement, Dr. J, before we pray and head out of here.
First, you can't give what you don't have. Take the time each day to prayer. Start with it. spend some time with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. If you can possibly in any way, even if it's 5 minutes, get there and be with him. Tell the ones that you love them. That's critical. And then say yes to God. One of my favorite things is God blesses our yeses, and he will bring you to people that you can have an impact on, that will have an impact on you. And just love them. Just love everyone that you come into contact with.
Dr. J, it has certainly been a blessing to all of us that you said yes to this podcast. I could talk to you all afternoon about 46 years of marriage. I'm sure there's lots of things I could learn from that, and being a grandfather and an optometrist and everything else. But what I'm going to ask you to do is to pray for us. Before I do that, Dr. J, I just want to assure you that I'll be praying for your family and your grandchildren, and your ministry and in your St. Joseph's Parish in Nebraska. I just want to invite you to pray for everyone listening. And at the end of your prayer, Scott will come in and put the finishing touches on our time together. But please just take a moment and pray for our audience.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, you sent us the great gift of your Son. We ask him to bless all of these Capons men, all of their families, all of the people who are listening to this throughout the world. Bring them your peace, Lord, the peace that only you can give. Fill them with your joy, the joy that you experienced on the lap of your mother, who tenderly brought you up and who wants to tenderly bring us up. Give us that peace, Lord, and that joy and that love for all of those that you love so dearly, every single soul, born and pre-born. Protect us all, Lord, from Satan's tentacles, and just give us joy. We ask this in your name, Jesus, and through your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Dr. J, it's always great to hear from you, and thanks for giving all of us fighting in our foxholes a dose of the medicine of joy. Now, I can't help but think of Father Capon when you talk about that joy. And I think for most of us, we think of Father Capon's time over in Korea and in the prison camp, but even when we look at him when he was serving as a priest here in Kansas, he was determined to be a joyful witness to the Lord. And I think of him when he was serving in his few months as pastor in the small town of Timken here in central Kansas. And I can't remember if it was the owner of the bowling alley or the co-op, but this man wasn't Catholic. But he said that Father Capon would frequently stop in to talk to him. And he said he was so cheerful and down to earth, which was something he didn't expect from a Catholic priest. And this man said that he was actually rather glad when Father Capon went back into the army, because he said that he figured if he stuck around much longer, he would have had to convert and become Catholic himself. So, it's kind of a funny comment, but I think it really does show Father Capon's determination to be a cheerful witness and to building community wherever he was. And obviously, that's something that continued on the battlefields, and especially in the prison camp of Korea, where in that dreadful atmosphere of the camp, when most people were discouraged and giving up, he refused to be that way. And because of that, he was able to bring God's peace and joy to the situation and to strengthen their brotherhood. And his impact stuck with the other POWs long after Father Capon died. This leads me to our challenge for this week, which is to think, pray, and take notice of ways that you can build up community around you. As humans, we're made for communion, not just with God, but with each other as well. And this is something that has really suffered this past year. Dr. J talked about the necessity of building community, not just in small rural areas, but even in the middle of our larger cities or churches. The way we will move forward as a country and as a church is if we foster these small communities where we're able to share our love and our joy with our neighbors. Maybe this involves simply reaching out to your neighbors or the people around you. Maybe it's communicating clearly your appreciation for a coworker. Maybe it's inviting people over for a barbecue who you wouldn't normally have over. As Dr. J said, the Lord always gives us the people to encounter. We just need to say yes to those opportunities and invite them into a richer community. Finally, thank you for being a part of our community here in the Foxhole. We'd truly appreciate it. Know of our prayers, and until next time, stay humble, stay courageous, and may Father Capon pray for all of us.
We can surely expect that in our own lives there will come a time when we must make a choice between being loyal to the true faith or of giving allegiance to something else which is either opposed to or not in alliance with our faith. O God, we ask of Thee to give us the courage to be ever faithful to Thee. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of you. Amen.